is empty, he is risen, ruler of the world. He reigns forevermore, omnipotent, almighty, he is God, he is Lord, he is God, he is Lord. He arose. Been rolled away, the tomb is empty, he is risen, ruler of the world. He reigns forevermore, omnipotent, almighty, he is God, he is Lord, he is God, he is Lord, he is God. Thank you.
Good morning. Glad everybody could be here today. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for bringing us back to your house. Lord, I thank you for our church family. I thank you for our pastor. Lord, I ask that you be with the ones that are sick, heal their bodies. We thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand and turn to page 44. 44. All hail the power of Jesus' name. All hail the power of Jesus' name, that angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saved you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saved you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every church on this terrestrial bomb, to him all majesty ascribe, crown him Lord of all. And him who majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder great throng we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. Amen. Thank you for your singing. You may be seated. Turn over to page 5. Holy, holy, holy. Song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down the golden crowns around the blessing sea, cherubims and seraphims falling down before thee, which word and are and evermore to be. Holy, 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 thou the darkness hide thee,
of sinful men, thy glory may not see. Only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in pardon, love and purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity.
Amen. Thank you for your singing. Thank you, man. All right. The announcements. Today is graduation Sunday. We recognize all and honor all of the graduates of 2026. There's a list of them. And then tonight we'll be having the teen supper and silent auction at 4:45. It's a nacho bar with desserts with the conclusion of the auction after the evening service. Wednesday, May 20th, Bible preaching and prayer and patch club at 7 p.m. Saturday, May 23rd, bus visitation, churchwide operation, saturation, and soul winning at 10. Sunday, May 21st, following the 24th, 4 p.m. afternoon service followed by fellowship at the pastor's house or in the fellowship hall, weather permitting. Sunday, May 31st. Senior camp will be, the senior campers will be heading to camp that day. And please remember the prayer requests on the back.
Yeah, I know the feeling. I've been there. All right. Well, it's graduation Sunday. I happen to be able to have a granddaughter who's graduating in Heartland, so we tuned in on graduation day there. I saw her graduate. As a matter of fact, I told her dad we couldn't even see them in the group, but we could see her real clear. So being home and being able to see it was good. Appreciated the message and everything, the charge that they gave them. And as I was thinking about watching these graduations, I kind of think back to when I graduated from college. Dal was the speaker. I remember that, but I don't remember what he said. But I can't remember exactly what the message was even on. It's been a long time. I mean, you look back 50 years, it's hard to do. But on Friday evening, my grandson graduated from high school in Chalmers, Indiana, and not Indiana, Illinois. Not too far out of Chicago there, and he graduated from a Christian school there, and got to see him. I'm glad we have this YouTube and different things like that. You can pull these things in, and I was able to see him graduate. His mother sent us the connection for it and everything, and got to see him graduate. And I got one more granddaughter to graduate yet this year. So this has been a busy year for graduates. Not only that, some of these graduates are coming home and then getting married. My granddaughter, Rebecca, she had her wedding shower yesterday. And when she came over to our house, she wasn't even wet. And I said, how can you have a shower and not get wet? But anyway, so I offered her a bar of soap. That's what my gift was to her for a shower. But she came over to our house to pick up our present for her, and graduation card and all that stuff. So there's been it's been very busy with graduations and everything. And it's been kind of expensive too. But anyway, so it's good to have our graduates. Of course, Nathan, he's coming home and he's going to get married. So it must be a thing. You get out of college and you get married. I was married when I went to college, so it was quite a different thing. I tell you that was an experience. When you are married and you are in college, it was a challenge. But God gets us all through us. God's grace is good. And God's good all the time, right? All the time. God's good all the time. So today, as we get into our Sunday school lesson, we're going to be looking at Luke's Gospel, chapter 6. That's where we're at. And we had got through the man that was healed in the synagogue. And we're going to be looking at a little bit different here this morning. Because as I was going through the 12 disciples chosen here in Luke chapter chapter 6 and the apostles, I did a little bit different. I want to compare the list of in Matthew and in Mark and in Luke. It's interesting because what you're going to do in these lists, you're going to find that these guys had more than one name, and it makes it very difficult as they were chasing through history and different things like that to find all these people in the scriptures in any way. But before we get into the lesson today, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we're thankful for this day. We're thankful for your love, your blessings, your grace, your mercy that you show us every day. Lord, we're not worthy of it, but yet, Lord, you looked down and saw our need, and Lord, you met that need. We're so thankful for Calvary and what you've done for us. Father, I pray that you just bless us today as we look into your word and get some guidance and direction. Help us, Lord, to understand the things that you have for us. Open our eyes that we might be able to see, Lord, that we might understand what your word's all about. Father, we're thankful that you gave us a book that we can look back and see all the great things that you've done and realize you're the same God today as you were back then. You can work miracles. You can do the things that you did in the New Testament here. And Lord, you're still doing it today. And Lord, you're still saving souls today. And Father, we just pray that you give us guidance and direction in the word today. As we look into your word, I pray that you bless our time. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I said, we're going to look at these three places in the scripture. As we said, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they're synoptic gospels. That means their stories, these stories are all they all have the same story in them. And so John is the one that is not one of the synoptic gospels. So we're going to start this morning here in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, if you have your Bibles, we're going to look at this list of men that that the Lord called to be his apostles. And it says in verse 10, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits and to cast them out and to heal all manners of sickness and all manners of diseases." This is interesting. This starts out with the reason why he's called them together here. He wants to send them out. He wants to send them out. That's very important because that's what God wants to do with us. He still wants to send us out today. So now in verse 2, he gives them these 12 men. He gives another name to them. He says, now the names of the 12 apostles are these. He calls them not just disciples, but now they're apostles. Okay? So he says, and the first, Simon, who is called Peter. So he takes Simon's name, his old name, and he changes it and tells him he's going to be called Peter. He's going to change his name at this time and call him Peter. And Andrew, his brother, Andrew is the one that led Peter to the Lord. He was the one that said, hey, we found the Messiah. You got to come and see him. And so we talked about those a few weeks ago, last week sometime or another. But anyway, and then the next it says, James, the son of Zebedee's, and John, his brother. So here's the other two brothers that are here. James, the son of Zebedee's, and John, his brother. James is the older one. John is the youngest of these two brothers. And then we have Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the publican. Now, in the book of Matthew, this is the place where he puts that those words, the publican. Matthew always, in his book, he describes himself as the publican. Because I believe that Matthew, and we talked about this a week or two ago, that Matthew came from a different situation. He, his name we can find in the other Gospels here. He's going to be called Levi. Levi. Because he was of the tribe of Levi. He was of the tribe of those people who were scribes and Pharisees and those type of things. But he left that to be a publican, a tax collector. And you know, the tax collectors, they really didn't care too much for them. It's kind of like the IRS today. When we see something on my telephone that says it's IRS, I hang up, I don't answer. No. Now, I'm in good shape with the IRS. They keep taking my money every year. So, but, you know, amazing. That it just a thought that crossed my mind. As a senior, I don't know. They said that all the seniors were supposed to get $6,000 on to help them on their income tax. So I did my taxes and everything. I never seen that $6,000. I don't know where it went, what I paid in, I got back. I said, that's the same thing I always do every year. Where'd the $6,000 go? My guy that does my taxes, he says, oh, it's out there somewhere. I just didn't see it. But anyway, tax collectors, you know how that is. This is May. By now, I hope you've paid your taxes. They'll be calling you if not. That some reason they like to get their taxes. Same way with the publicans. We remember another one by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a Republican, not a Republican, a publican. He might have been a Republican too. I'm not sure. I don't know what his political affiliations were. But anyway, that gets me on another subject, and I won't go there. My phone's loaded up with these Republicans. But anyway, where was I? Okay. Sometimes this happens. Adam was saying something about, you know, words. Well, might as well get used to it because it doesn't get any better the older you get. So, but anyway, I try to get back on subject here. Okay, Matthew the publican. Then the next one, James the son of Alphaeus. He identifies what James this is, the son of Alphaeus. We'll look here a little bit later as we get into the other ones. And Lebaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus. Now, Thaddeus, he's got two names here. You'll find out he has three names. We'll look in one of these others, and they'll describe him another way. Same person. And so as you think about this, as historians now have to go back and look at these things and try to figure it out, it's very difficult to figure out exactly what these people have done, unless they're mentioned in the scriptures. If God allowed their names or something to be added in the scriptures, some of these guys, they're only mentioned in these three places, actually four, in these three gospels and in the book of Acts that also has a listing of the apostles. So that's James, the son of Alphaeus, and we talked about him. Okay, the next one down there is Simon the Canaanite. We're looking at and these other ones, you're going to see some more, a little bit of addition to him. We've seen Bartholomew is mentioned in this one. Bartholomew is mentioned in all three of them. And Bartholomew has another name. We met him early in the Gospel of John. His name is Nathanael. You know, he's Nathanael. That's why these names, as you look at them, go through the scriptures and try to figure them out, it's a good idea to look as you're reading your Bible, as you're studying it. You might want to underline when you see those names, and that'll help you to know exactly about them. Now, in the books I've read, Lochner, All the Apostles, he takes that and he goes through a lot. Matter of fact, there's pretty good sized paragraphs on there, not paragraphs, pages on each one of these characters in his book. Now, a lot of things he does is he takes and looks at a situation and where they're at, and then he actually tries to fill in the blanks. Why was this guy doing this at this time? And what was he? A lot of these apostles, even Andrew, Peter's brother, who was the first one, the first disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, after John had pointed out to him, "Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world." Andrew was one of the first followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing he did was go find his brother Peter. And so even though Andrew is mentioned in quite a few scriptures, there's not a lot said about Andrew. He was more of a quiet servant. And I believe that God uses that because a lot of us are just that way. We're a quiet servant. We're serving God. We're doing the things that God wants us to do, but we don't get the publication. We don't get the notoriety that Peter got or John. John is one of them. And actually, in the Gospel of John, he doesn't even have a list of all the apostles. But we're going to be looking at John for just a few minutes, a little bit, because all these others are mentioned here in the Synoptic Gospels. And so I kind of wonder sometimes why John didn't do it, write something at least telling of the 12 apostles. But anyway, so we find out. Then we had Simon the Canaanite. We'll find another name for him. And of course, the last one of all of these is going to be Judas Iscariot. He's one. He's always identified who also betrayed him. He's noted for his suicide. Committed suicide. And Lochner has a lot of stuff on Judas, which really surprised me. I haven't got it all read. Wouldn't be able to tell you it all anyway if I had read it all, because my mind doesn't keep that much in there. I just got a little bit of I got a lot of gray hairs, and things just don't always stay that way. But anyway, so those are the 12 disciples. It always starts out with Peter. Now, when you look at these other ones, that was the reading in Matthew. Mark's a little bit different. And the interesting thing in Mark 2, let's turn to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3, and it's verse 14. We'll start with verse 13. And it says, "He goeth up into the mountain and called unto him whom he would. And they came unto him, and he ordered 12. And that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach." Again, he mentions here, Matthew mentioned it the first part. He was sending them out to preach, and it goes on to say in verse 15, and to have power over, to heal the sicknesses and to cast out devils. So he had a reason, a purpose that he was going to do. He was going to give them some supernatural powers here that none of the other disciples actually had until later we find out in the book of Acts, God, after the Lord left, the Holy Spirit was upon people, and they were able to do many mighty works. Here he sent these guys out for a reason. And he starts his list in verse 16. And Simon, whose surname was Peter, again, he's notifying that Simon's name is going to be changed to Peter. Now, in the scriptures, as you're reading through, and the Lord talks to Peter, you'll notice something. When he's scolding Peter, he says, "Simon, he's Simon." What did it say it there in the Gospels where he told the Lord that he would not deny him? The Lord says, "Simon, thou shalt deny me thrice." You're gonna deny me. And so whenever you see his name changed to Simon, look good at the text there, because he's scolding Peter. He's trying to teach him a lesson on something, trying to get Peter's foot out of his mouth and let him know the straight thing, that the Lord's going to straighten him out on something. So whenever you see that word Simon, you might look. As a matter of fact, you can look at the, I think, John Gospel, chapter 21. This is when the Lord appears to him, and they are at the sea. They were trying to fish. Peter had gone out and they went fishing in this portion of scripture, and they came to the shore, and the disciples Jesus had told them to cast their net on the other side, and they caught quite a few fish. But then in verse 15 of chapter 21, it says, "So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter," "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" See where he started? The fleshly man. He knew that Peter got in his flesh. He didn't lose his salvation. He just got in the flesh and denied the Lord. And sometimes that's what we do, things like that. We get in the flesh. And so he's teaching here and telling him, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" And he said, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee." And he said unto him, "Feed my lambs." And then he says again, the second time, said unto Simon, son of Jonas, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." And he said unto him, "Feed my sheep." And so the Lord is talking to him, starts out saying, "Simon, remember you're a sinner." We need to remember that we're flesh. We are sinners, only saved by grace. And so he goes on and says, he said unto him the third time. This broke Simon Peter's heart. But I think Simon also could reflect back in his mind and think that day when he denied him, that third time when he heard that cock crow. The Bible says that Peter left the area and went out and wept bitterly. I believe as he heard this the third time, that it grieved him, because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." And Jesus said unto him, "Feed my sheep." Notice that in that verse of scripture, he said, "Thou knowest all things." It's exactly what Jesus was telling him before he denied him. This is what you're going to do. He knew it before he did it. And so Simon Peter here is confessing to him, "You know all things. You know all things." You know, that's one thing we need to get in our minds too, that God knows all things. There's nothing that takes him by surprise. We fall into sin sometimes. "Oh, I don't know why I did that." No, God does. You weren't following him. You weren't walking in his steps. You weren't doing the things that we should be. God knows that these things are going to happen. And he gives you that time when you confess your sin. It's one of those things when in John's epistle, he writes, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so when we're convicted of our sins, that's the time we need to confess our sins. And just like Peter did here, he was under conviction when he said the third time it grieved his heart. And he came back to the conclusion, God, I know, Lord, you know all things. That's what happens to us when we're convicted of a sin. And so in Mark's gospel, we looked at these, the list of the names, Simon Peter, I got stuck there. Okay, and then Simon Peter, and it says, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, John, the brother of James, and he surnamed them, both of them together, Barjonas, which is the sons of thunder. So this was a way of the Lord actually recognizing their personalities. These guys were going to speak out, and sometimes they spoke out in wrong areas and wrong things. But the Lord said that they were the type of men that kind of spoke their mind sometimes. And so that was a description given to them by the Lord. And, of course, they were the sons of Zebedee. So, mentioned with James and John is usually always their father, Zebedee's. I believe that the Lord knew Zebedee's and real well, and he looked upon him and knew that he had sons, and with these sons, he allowed them to go with the Lord and keeping the business himself, keeping the fishing going and all these things. And I think he knew the sacrifice that Zebedee's had made for his sons to be in the ministry with Christ where they were going to stay with him. And so he mentions him, Zebedee's. And so, they're called the sons of thunder. And then you notice after this one, then is Andrew. In the book, in Mark's gospel here, he names the ones that are closest to the Lord, that go with him more times, Peter, James, and John. The top three, he's got them here, and we find that they went on the Mount of Transfiguration, where they seen the Lord and these things. They were very close to the Lord. Matter of fact, John is known as the Beloved. We'll look in his gospel here in a little bit, and we'll see now that he was the Beloved. And James, of course, his older brother, James is recognized too because he's the first apostle martyr. He's the first one that gave his life for the cause of Christ as one of the apostles. Of course, we know Stephen was stoned. He was a deacon. You know, so deacons get to go first. So when the stoning comes, make sure the deacons are up there in front. How many deacons do we have in this church? None. We have trustees, so we go last. But anyway, James and Andrew has kind of, at least in the numbering here, kind of drops back. And again, he's got Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him, and they went into the house. So that's the end there in Mark's gospel. One other thing here in Mark's gospel, they went into the house, and did I turn my page? Anyway, they're going to go in the house, and then you're going to see the healing of the people and different things that's going to happen here that also is mentioned in Luke's gospel in chapter 6, which is after the apostles are named here, and then the multitudes are healed there in chapter 17 in Luke chapter 6, verse 17. So there is the other, that's Matthew and Mark. Now here in Luke, that's where we're at in our study. We're trying to study through the Gospel of Luke. And it says in verse 13, and when he was, let's drop down to last part of 13, and when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12. Now, you notice in here, he called them disciples. He never called them apostles in this portion of Scripture. It says 12, whom also, there it is, he called apostles. I knew it was in all three of these is the area where he called them apostles. And it says, and of course, he starts out with Simon, whose surname is Peter, and Andrew his brother, and James and James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. So got Judas in the right area, but you notice here, there's another Judas that's not mentioned in any of these other Gospels. That's because it's another guy that has another name. And so we find out here in this, we had also, we see Simon called Zelotes. Now, he called him in the Gospels in Matthew and Mark, he's called Simon the Canaanite. And here he's called Simon Zelotes. Now, what this was a term for a group of people that that stood firm on the law. They could have called lawyers or whatever, but they were firm on the law. And he was a defender of the law that God had given. He fought against the Romans when they came in to do something that was contrary to the law. He would be one of those that would speak up against them. It's amazing, as the Lord picked chose his apostles. He chose some of them that were find very little about them. They were just servants, and they just followed and did the things that he wanted them to do, and these things. And then there's some of them like this man was really a defender of the law. And so I'm sure as the Lord taught him and was teaching him about the grace of God. Matter of fact, when right before that, he healed some people on the Sabbath. Now, I imagine this Simon thought, "What are you doing, Lord? You're breaking the law." You know, he probably had that thought coming in his mind. But Jesus told him, and like he did the scribes and Pharisees, he was showing them that there was something better than the Sabbath, and that was Christ Himself. He was the Lord of the Sabbath. He was the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath in verse 5. He was telling them and showing them. He showed them in the law, or in the next part there, where he healed the man that had a withered hand and told him to stretch it forth, and the hand was healed. And it says, and he stretched it forth that in verse 10, and he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And it says in verse 11, and they were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do unto Jesus. And Matthew's gospel and in Luke's gospel, it has the same mention after that in this area. I think it's Mark's gospel that has mentioned just like these men were mad and said they were angry at what they seen the Lord do to heal this man. But God said that the Lord told them, he said, is it not right to do right on the Sabbath, or should you do wrong? So he was put into a right and wrong issue. And he says, always to do right. In our lives, that's exactly what we need to think whenever something comes up and we're kind of, should I do this or do that? What's right? Always do right. It'll come out right. Because if you do wrong, you can't make it right. You're going to have to do a lot of things to get something back to right. Whether it's paying taxes or whatever you do, you have to get it back to right. So that's what he was teaching here. And then he called his apostles. But I did want to look at one thing. John's mentioned, we're not really looking at the Gospel of John, but there is something about John that I found was very interesting. And, of course, John's one of my favorite characters. And I had a couple of pieces of paper here. I don't think it's in there. It's not under there. It's here. I must have stuck it in as a placeholder or something here. I seen them. They were just flying around a minute ago. This is it. John's Gospel. One thing about John, he was putting across some important words. We know the Gospel of John talks about the love, a love of God and all these things. You know what? The main word in the Gospel of John is witness. Witness. There's seven things. He also used the other words, rendering. Rendering, that's a part of witnessing. Recording, he uses the word record a lot, and the word testify and testimony. Record and rendering he uses 13 times, and testifying testify and testimony he used 25 times, and the word witness he used 30 times. These are some of the things that he witnessed and wanted to make sure that we understood. One of the first things he witnessed was the baptism of John. How important the baptism of John is. We can look in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and we can start there. But he also comes and shows us another witness in a little bit of the same thing. But in the Gospel of John, in chapter 1, as soon as my fat fingers can move. Okay, it says in verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He's a witness. He's saying this man was sent from God. That's a very important thing. I think my brother Rocky there at college, he would line up with me. And says, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. He's telling them here, John's saying, John came to bear witness. He uses that word, witness of the light. And over here in verse 15 says, John bear witness of him and crieth, saying, this is he of whom he spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received grace for grace. And so John, in his writing here, is bearing witness of what John the Baptist said. And not only that, let's look in John's Gospel, chapter 5. And I think we see here a greater witness, as these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ that John is witnessing to. He's writing it down here in the scripture that we might understand it. In John's Gospel, chapter 5 and verse 32, He says, there is another that beareth witness of me. This is the Lord speaking. He said, there's another that beareth witness of me, and I know that witness which he witnesses is of me is true. And so he's bearing witness. Verse 33 says, ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. He said, Jesus is verifying that John was the witness right here. And not only that, was John the witness. Verse 39 tells us that there's another witness, and it says, search the scriptures. The scriptures are a witness to us. For in them ye think that you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Again, he's pointing the scriptures to himself. And, of course, you know, all they had in those days was the Old Testament. So I'm assuming he's probably talking about Isaiah 53, because it's pointing to him. And many times, as we see in the book of Acts, we find out that Paul, I believe, used that scripture quite often to point people to Christ. Because, matter of fact, Philip, when he met the Ethiopian eunuch, points to Christ through the Old Testament scriptures. The scriptures point to Christ. And not only that, he says in verse 37 of this verse, he says, the Father himself, which hath sent me, he beareth witness of me. So he, again, John's talking about the witness of God, God the Father witnessing of his Son. And there's many more, but we're out of time. So I'm going to have to stop right there. And for sure, next week we will get on the miracles that's going to happen in the next part of John. And then the Lord's going to start teaching his disciples. We're going to look back in the book of Matthew and see how he taught him what we call the Beatitudes. This is what's coming up here in chapter 6. So let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we are thankful that we do serve a great God. Lord, I'm so thankful for your love, your mercy, your grace. Lord, we just can't survive without it. And Lord, we're so thankful we have a God that knows everything. Lord, I think of the graduates, Lord, that graduated. They don't know what's ahead of them, but Lord, you do. Father, I just pray that you'd have your will and way in our lives. We know, Lord, that sometimes we can't figure out tomorrow, but Lord, you know. So we can, by faith, just trust you. Just cast all of our cares upon you because you care for us. And we can trust, Lord, your word has showed us time and time again how much you love us. We're thankful, Lord, for what you did, these apostles that you gave us to give us guidance and direction, their lives and things in their lives that, Lord, we'll see as we go through the scriptures how their lives were changed. And Father, we just pray that you'd have your will and way now. Be with the pastor as he comes and brings the word. I pray, Lord, you hide him behind the cross. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would work in a mighty way. Lord, you'd touch the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. Lord, you would, your Holy Spirit would convict. Lord, that our ears would be open to your word. But Lord, most of all, our hearts, that we'd open them up to you today. We ask it all in thy Son's name, in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. All right, you're dismissed. I wonder.